This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Neil, you there?
Yeah. Okay.
I'm here. Yeah. Okay, great. I'm here.
Zoli
there? Okay.
On the road. Okay. Can I ask the other question from last week?
Yes.
We said that the impact of Dibur is the Metzias it creates, and
yes,
we spoke about how you need a Shomea to make it into Dibur.
Correct.
Now, obviously, what's the meaning of it when the person's not Mekabel?
So, in a certain sense, I haven't created a reality. Let's say a Meshuggah comes and tells me something. Those Diburim, because they're not Miskabel, those Diburim have zero effect. Now, we do know, generally speaking, that a propaganda always has a way of somewhat, making inroads and so on. But in the theoretical sense, if a Dibur is not Miskabel, that's not anything that's personal, subjective, does not have an objective Metzias. It's only things that are to some degree miskabel that we can say they've created a Metzias. Okay, we're holding here an Amud Kuf on the bottom.
Sorry.
Yes.
So why, according to that, is someone over on the Is of Lashon Hara when the person wasn't miskabel?
Well, let's put it this way: if you stood in a room only yourself, and you said all Lashon Hara in the world all day long, it wouldn't be Lashon Hara. If you tell it to somebody, even if the person says, I don't believe it, so I guess I'll leave it emes. If people thought that you were raving mad, nobody would be mekabel it. I assume it would be not different than saying in a room. But Bederach Klal, it makes an impression on people. I think they have some study that after X amount of months, things that you heard, whether you agreed with them b'shas ma'isa or not, you begin to quote as if it's as if you were mekablet. The dibur has an impact, and therefore we'll call it lashon hara. But the best way is if you stand in a room locked and you say the vilest things for the longest amount of time about people, it's not lashon hara. Dibur is communication. It's more than that. The Revolver brings in a place somewhere where he speaks about Shnayim Sheyoshev Ein Divrei Torah Beneihem. Divrei Torah is created. An objective reality are things that at least two people see alike. If flavors and colors are not objective realities, because every person has his own personal nuance to it, but if two or three people see something and agree to it, that this is what they saw, that defines reality. The difference is subjective and objective is, will I have the same exact results if I take it across the board? Hot and cold, they have an objective value in terms of temperature. And no matter which thermometer I'll use, and every person that feels it will feel this to be 50 degrees, 100 degrees, whatever it is. Comfortable or uncomfortable, you'll have an infinite amount of gradations. I feel it's very comfortable, you feel it's quite comfortable, and someone else feels it's a bit comfortable. All of these things are subjective because no two people see the same reality. The Burim create a joint reality. If I say Yankel is a Peshea, and you agree to it, or somewhat, or you are willing to consider it, then we now have a Metzias on the ground. That's how we've defined it. I think I've said over the Maral many times. Maral says, why Pishnaim Edim? So yes, two is more believed than one, but then three should be still more believed, and certainly 50 should be more believed than two. Well, what's that sharp gap between one and two? So Maral says, when I say that I see a sefer, The true value of that statement is not that there's a safer in front of me, but that I see a safer. I see a safer is a perfectly valid statement if I'm hallucinating, if I am, if I have some problem with my glasses, if there's a projection of a safer and I seem to see it as a safer. I see a safer is a subjective statement. It's about my sight. When you and I both say we see a safer, it's not a subjective statement because my sight and your sight are two different sights. The point of convergence of my sight and your sight must be an objective reality. So that's why Shaim Adam is an entirely different world, because Al Pishaim Adam Yokum Dover, it's when something gets a metzias. It's when something becomes, it exists as an objective thing because at least two people's sense of it converged. So I'll call upon him that's the difference between that's why Diburim are powerful, because when I have a Shaman and a Kabbal, then yes, it becomes of some substance. I mean, the truth is in Lashon Hara, even if the person is not Mekabalit, but Lemechshas Miboy, he has to suspect that there's some sort of that it might be true. That's the halacha, and it's reality. Even a person who's very careful, but he's not. If somebody came along that has some mnemonics and said that Reuven's so and so, whatever it is, we will be chayshish. You know, we won't be done. We won't convict him, but we certainly will keep in mind. Okay. So we're holding here in Kuf on the right hand column, the bottom. Umashekosav a Rambam zal shashtika yoyra ala yichus. Ba'imram yuchsasa de bovel shtik husa. So going back, this is the beginning of the paragraph, of the very beginning, where the Rambam starts off and he says one of the milas of shtika is, ukva omru chacham shemiut advarim raya al milas heres ala miyuchas, omru yuchsasa de bovel shtik husa. So the Rambam learns up the Pshat in the Gemara over there that it's a sign of having great yichus if you are a shaysik. Now, that's very much not like Pshat in the Sugi over there. The Gemara over there, and he brings the Gemara and he has a problem with that. The fisug limor pegaso yuchsin the amas sham b'marava kav minzu beitrei bar dadi hay de karem v'shasik amri hay miyuchas tfei. In Eretz Yisrael, when two people would argue with each other, the one that would clam up first and not answer back would be called the greater miyuchas. Amarav. So the bubble heinish tikusa. In bubble, the yuchus bubble was much more yuchus than it's Israel. Mar says that Israel is much lower yuchus standing than bubble in those days, because the in bubble they were menaki the yichsim. I'm rabba yachsus the bubble heinish tikusa. So lefize mashmak mashpirsh rashi zal sham mipnei she stam b'nei meriva im psulim la'ay meriva dvar. Over there, we're talking about if a person says nasty things about the other person, the people that are constantly in fights and bickering, and so on, they're the people that are greater miyuchasim. So it's very specific about saying rude things about other people. I guess maybe it's a simon only in Bavel. I guess that's Yisrael writing posters on the walls and so on. As even miyuchasim, I guess that it's only effective in Bavel. V'nira atam kim v'shama shmuel kol ha-paisel b'mum ha-paisel kim lo yoy ha-paisel pasel ba'atzma lo yoy moitzi dova kim moitzi dova sasacha ki dova zu dova meguna rakim u'pasel az moitzi esminoi. So Rashi learns over there that the act of calling somebody else some sort of nasty thing is an indication of something inside yourself that's not all there. So the person who accuses everybody else of being dishonest or whatever, you sometimes begin to wonder what's inside in the person himself, and that's kalapaisel mumapaisel. The word Navi comes from Nivsasayim, spokesman.
So
what you say doesn't fall far from the person himself. This is a very obvious point, and this is like when you talk about Freudian slips. People's diburim are not divorced from the person himself. They're rather a pre from the person himself.
Good
doesn't come from bad. Bad doesn't come from good. It obviously the pre has to be shayach to sheirish. Kach had dibo bodam kashem meiriv mechaver pegmoisoi. If a person calls the other person a ganav a shaknes net, those words come because somewhere inside I have a sheirish. A poem moyezel al sheirish apgam ba menhu rav lakach b'mum dafke paisel. If they care dova rash eitzim menhu nimtzaboy.
So the Pashto Pshat is that we're talking dafka when somebody is in a fight with somebody else, calling the other person names, and it falls under the general category called Paisel and Paisel.
It does not in any way in the Gemara there seem to mean that, let's say you have a person who's never says nasty, rude things, he's always talking about, the flowers and the grasses and whatever it is, he's talking. Dvarim mutarim. There don't seem to be any issue with that. And the Rambam, I will give a Rambam zal. Shemir dvarim tolu biyichus kasha. The man said it's a yichus. What does that have to do with yichus? What's the Indian of mir dvarim have to do with yichus? That's the shaila. So the pasuk pshat in the Gemara, like Rashi learns, is relatively easy to understand. It has to do with the fact that if a person is a negative person, says negative things about other people, he is negative himself. There's something negative about him, bipnemius, and it comes out because at the end of the day, the fruit is what comes out. The Gemara says it in a little bit of a different sense by shutu di nuko davu de ime, that when a kid talks, it's what he overheard at home from his parents. So we always say that the burim are never generated at the level of dibur, they come from a much deeper marker. So that makes sense when you're talking specifically about fighting with people and saying all sorts of nasty things about the yichus and so on. So just stam that a person is less talkative. Why is that do with yichus? The efsha. Mishonarina perik hador, the stam kusi marbe dvarim. The Gemara says that astam kusi is marbe dvarim. The Gemara says where that Amsa is mifapoi, she talks a lot. V'chein perek azur lechayayim amr de kusi marbe dvarim ubevara kusi meyichas kushtu. So v'atam aze ki miu dvarim moira al tsnius mosha amr al shol v'svaram lucho lehigit. Amu b'megillah b'schart sniyus shay b'shol zocha yotzem en Esther. Mat sniyus shay b'Esther shem Esther magedes ki miut gilu dvar moral sniyus kemoy shahu loshen tsanua. So let's talk about this. This is a fine point, a subtle point. Let's understand what he means over here. A person needs to exist, and not only physically, a person needs to feel that his sense of self exists. Now, two major ways in which it manifests itself, and extreme opposites. One is, I feel that if I am not noticed by people, if I'm not taken note of, and I don't have any public, I don't occupy public space, I'm a nobody. If the world doesn't know that I exist, and the world doesn't acknowledge me, then I don't exist. My existence is all totally on
the acknowledgement, recognition, awareness of others. So
for a child, that's true, right?
Yes, you know, for a child, it's true. Yes, exactly. You can't foist these adult behaviors on a child. Correct. So a child b'etzem is totally on other people, and that's why, and the remarkable change when you start adolescence is that all of a sudden you no longer care for, want, or the acknowledgement of the same people that you were looking to that point. So we exist because other people take note of us, etc., etc. It's like a person will say, you know, I would love to be a fantastic tzaddik nista that somebody writes up in a book about. In other words, I don't mind being written up in a book about being a tzaddik nista, but it needs to be written up in the book. Somebody needs to take note of it, else I never existed. I'm just a nobody. That's one. In the exact opposite end of that spectrum is a person who has a lot of sense of pnimius. My thoughts, my ideas, my feelings, and opening it up the outside sort of dilutes it. Sort of waters it down. It just makes this other people's this is supposed to be me, and it's mine because I have it within me. This is my life. This is me. I was once in a bus from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, and it's a hot summer day, and like the last minute, an American young woman got up. It must have been a woman in her 20s, and she was running with like some sort of gown to wear at a wedding. A Haredi woman, American Haredi woman. It must have been her 20s, so that type of age. And she sat down in an empty seat right in front of me, next to another woman. And the whole trip from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak, she was talking in a very, very, very shrill, you know, both loud and quite irritating voice. And in those 50, 55 minutes that it takes, or maybe it took another 10 minutes, she went through her entire life, which included divorce and her relationship to her previous husband, and on and on. And it was extremely difficult to listen to it. It was almost impossible to avoid it. I mean, just the way her voice carried and that. But the person's had no... I mean, this is the type of thing a person wants to keep in his own little reservoir and own feelings and own thoughts. And you feel you spoil it when you tell it somebody else. You're diluting something that's very, very special to you, very precious to you. They used to say in Kelm that if you say over a vart to an audience that's not sophisticated enough to appreciate it, doesn't appreciate it, it shows you don't actually value it. Imagine somebody's a diamond dealer. He has plenty of money, but he gives his little daughter, she's going to some party, gives her a diamond necklace worth $150,000. There's something there about, it's as if you don't value the diamond. I mean, a diamond needs to be kept in its case. It's not a question of the loss of money or whatever. It's a question of the preciousness of it and so on. By the way, Maimar Musger, this is an area that I think, I once spoke about in Baltimore, they had a kennis for technology, that Facebook is a horrendous travesty of tznius. It has nothing to do with the pictures, nothing to do with the men, women part of tznius. That's what I mean. I assure you, I did not eat anything unkosher for lunch. But if I needed to share with you what my lunch was, there's something about it extremely, extremely, sick about it, because I had no sense of self. This is my little corner. My sandwich is me, and that's it. The sharing of things that are me and mine with everybody else, every little narishkeit, is hefech of what a Kaimas Adam is. So yes, if I don't feel I have anything of my own, so whatever everybody else does and is and says, I must join the fray and I must publish what I ate for breakfast and for lunch and v'chulu v'chulu v'chulu. I mean, that's part of the of what it is. It's a chisar in a person. I have no pnimius, so everything is only whatever it is shared. Let's give another mashal. Things that I enjoy, pnimius, I don't need to share with other people. Things that I need to show off, it's because I don't really particularly have an inherent joy in it. I need it to show everybody, listen, I'm also somebody, I'm something or somebody, and so on and so forth. So he says like this, so if a person, yichus means, yichus, so the midah shtika we're talking here is called snius. In other words, I'm able to find myself by closing in the circle and facing what I have inside me. So hidden is, it's not just that I don't show off, it's that I'm comfortable with myself. A woman who's not sanua, the statement is, unless somebody else looks at me, I don't exist. Or my existence is greatly enhanced by somebody taking note of me and being mesiachis to me. The tznius of the shtika is that the person sort of lives within his own circle. By the way, I just want to explain this piece about tznius. If a man who looks at women that are not just tznistic or whatever it is, it's a yitzhar of arayis. Yitzhar is that, you know, he gets his kicks out of arayis, and istaklus is part of it. Even a man who shows off to women or whatever it is, it's all feeding into arayis. That's a man's yitzhar. A woman, the Yetzirah is really emotional, or wanting to be looked at, wanting to be an object that everyone is mesiachis to, that everyone is involved with. It comes not from arayis in the sense that by a man, but it rather comes by a need for attention / existence, etc. And that's why, in a certain sense, it's worse, because a man is a very physical taiva, and it's very specific. It's crude. It's vulgar, but it's not deeper in any kochos nefesh. In the long run, it takes a person away from anything ruchnius, and it sort of sinks him into taiva. A woman, It somehow is intertwined with other type of midas, with deeper midas about self and who you are and so on and so forth. Well, the Fikor says, Mieta Dibush. Yes.
Can we say that because she is an Ezek Negdoi, that is a harder sugya for her?
What do you mean? I don't have what sense?
She is Talion Acherim.
Right, and that's what, correct, Emes, that's what the Pasuk says. There's a certain sense of being Toli Bacherim. And there was a lady, I don't know if she's still alive or not, her name was Shulamit Aloni. She was a left-wing Chavek Knesset in Israel. She started the Meretz Party. She was one tough woman, and was extremely anti-religious, outspoken, but, you know, that schnitt. And she was a very, very tough lady. Somebody once called on the Knesset, one of the other speakers called her fat, and she cried, she burst out crying. I thought it was amazing, like it was a very interesting, like, I mean, she traded one-on-ones with everybody and without problems, but there was a certain nekuda that I guess she was vulnerable. So by a woman, yes, those are, and therefore, by a man, mir dibur, if tznius moira al yichus. Now, the inyan of yichusu is in this case that it's something where I am conscious of what I possess inside me. The yichus is not just the accident that I happen to be born from, you know, my grandfather's name was this, my great-grandfather was this, my great-grandfather was named Avram, and so on. Yichus means that I have within me a tremendous reservoir of toiv, of kedusha, and so on. So a person who's a miyuchis, it will be inward bound. He's not, I guess, lahavdol of havdolos, you can somewhat of a comparison to, you know, like the nouveau riche need to show off, whereas the people that have generations already of wealth and standing many times tend to be a lot more withdrawn. One person needs to push in, one person feels what he has. So yichus means a person feels inside what he's carrying with him.
So according to Rambam Shita, why is it difficult to arguing? It should be general. A person who is quiet, thoughtful, you know, not easy giving to blathering, is a miyuchas. A person who's all over the place talking and non-stop and so on is a is not a miyuchas. So he says, "Bipnei shezem moira al goyd la shtika shenimtza boi kasheish matza beruchay."
That a person has, the fact that a person has a rein on him, even when he's provoked. So it's not that b'shas argument he trades bad words with somebody else, which would be the pshat according to Maral, or Rashi, but rather it's because it's a person who's so quiet that even b'shas meriva, he's not, he's not given to words. And in b'shas meriva, you certainly understand it. The reason why, if somebody calls me an idiot, the reason why I need to respond is because if he called me an idiot, then my standing as a chacham has been somewhat compromised. Certainly in his eyes and other people who are going to hear this evaluation from him, and maybe they'll think I'm a little bit of an idiot. If I don't care very much and my sense of self is not focused around them, then what do I care? Because that was a especially bad time. I think I once said over the story, I was at a bris in Beit Vegan, and we went into, after the bris, it was right on top of where Rav Chatzis Abramsky lived, and we went to Rav Chatzis Abramsky. Rav Chatzis Abramsky was extremely regal, and, you know, every word was weighed and measured, very formal person, and kind of, every motion, every movement, and every word. So after the bris, a dozen of us went to the house, and we sat around the table. And he looks for a minute, and then he nods to the first person, "Who are you?" And the person introduced himself. Now, everybody in the table was somehow related to my wife's family. There was some Finkel of some sort. They were older family, so it was yeshiva bris. So one guy said, "I'm Moshe Finkel's son, I'm this one, that." the last guy was an American Bachan Yeshiva, a younger man. I wasn't a Bachan, he was a younger man, who got very flustered. And he said, when I asked him, who are you? He said, I don't have any yichas. So there was like a moment of silence. And then Rav Haskell sort of banged at the table. And he said, a grandson of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov has no yichas? And I think the president, I don't think he felt better after that statement. I think of, but he said, what do you mean? You know, Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, there's no yichas bigger than that. He says, another point I would make is that we said before there are many diburim that are mutter. So what's the problem if you're not a shaskin? So he says, since if you sach sicha b'teila sichas chul yavese here also. Lemaisa, a person certainly, and the Rambam himself certainly says, a person can obviously can speak many other things. I believe the lashon is sichas b'teila. I don't remember offhand if it says sichas chul, sichas b'teila. If I'm not mistaken, I think the lashon is sichas b'teila. I would have to take a look, but it's sichas b'teila means that it's something that is of no use or consequence. Divrei chachma, that a person speaks when a person has things that he needs to say, you know, things that are, the Rambam says, your word should be either divrei Torah or divrei chachma. There's not, you know, there's no chiyuv to speak only divrei Torah. It's called bedarach klal. I believe in Chazal, this is called sicha b'teila, not sicha schulin. And you know, it's quoting it freely, but that's really the issue. If a person speaks the burim that are for no toelas, so let's understand that also. If a person is just yapping, the reason for that yapping is because he doesn't feel that he exists unless somebody's listening to him. So it also feeds into that mahalach of needing to find define your existence by someone else, talking to someone else and listening to someone else. V'dova nimas nira lai. What? Yeah. A little bit louder.
Sorry, in Yuma it says chulin.
In Yuma it says chulin. Okay, but I would assume also that it means that we're talking about things that are of no consequence, things that don't have any purpose or tachlis. V'dova nimas nir le haina marbe dvarim af al gav. She'inyan hu dovah tzorich kashem mar bedvarim ulisa sichas dovah zunimus. Oh, so lemaisa, the Maral does sort of address what you said, Ephraim, that we're not talking about things that a person needs to speak about. There's not a that they're supposed to speak about it. We're talking about where he talks much more than is warranted by the topic of discussion. By the way, just so that we get sometimes a correct historical perspective. People, you know, the best phrase is, things used to be so good, and look how terrible it is, and look how terrible our door is. Never was a door like this, and da 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 da. Fine. He speaks here about Lashon Hara. In the Siva Lashon, he speaks about a phenomena that exists in his generation, and he brings Kol Kairos back and forth in it. That I think we would be kind of stunned. There were families that had fights in whatever areas they were, and one family decided to get back at the other family by spreading rumors that their children were mamzerim, that they have a problem with yichus. It's incredible. It's something which we would be astounded if that would happen, and yet that seemed to have been a very widespread phenomenon. It wasn't one particular family. It was, I think it's called Nadler. He has a whole kolkore with Rabbanim screaming and yelling against the people who spread these terrible rumors, and that they're Osir Sadin, and on and on and on, very, very, very strongly about it. And yet it seemed to have been, obviously was a problem. I mean, the fact that these things didn't get solved instantly, but you know, this is a dagger of Lashon Hara, of malicious Lashon Hara, that seems to be really, really something, you know, unthinkable. And existed, unfortunately, and you know, they fought against it, and they yelled against it, and they had tshuvas about it, and it was a whole big topic. So, you know, when he says over here, "Ach bnei dorein is etzem kalma oid," he's referring to that people would willfully be motzi shemran people, all other people, and it would create a tremendous ruckus. I mean, it's one thing when you call a particular person a ganav, a gazlan, a shakin, whatever it is. But when you motzi laz, you say that in their family there is a psul yuchas, you passel generations can't get rid of that stigma. And, you know, everyone, if I tell that so and so is a thief, so you may discount it, and you say you don't think it's right, and you'll do business with him. But if you say so and so in the family there's a serious child of yuchsin, nobody in his right mind would want to marry in. Even if I discount it, discredit it, the fact that this family has such a stigma means that the child will also have to face a stigma like that. You know, kula haivulai. And that was common. That was something that was a big passion is there. So when people say that it's so, you know, it never used to be so bad, well, every door had its problems. So I'll upon him, Vaderash Ibn al-Mal bin Adibu Hudaki
Atayra.
Yes.
How would you be madrid someone who is a Facebook junkie? You know, they're living there, they're in that world. Obviously, they don't have that inner sense of worth of being. How do you madrid someone to find that?
So, you know, it's like when somebody is in a drowning in a pit somewhere, you need to hold on to something. And let's say a person is, you need to find a moment, like on a Yom Kippur, depending on, you know, obviously on the person, when he's not, and say, you know what, let's think of what our lives look like, let's think of where we are, what we are, who we are. You can't start with it. He needs to find a moment that you're able to sort of hold hands, in the sense of like somebody's drowning. If you need to hold on, he needs to have heard something that makes him think about what is it. By being shaku in it, I am relegating most of my life to being non-productive. I am losing my tzon l'kim, because tzon l'kim means I stand within myself. I don't need to be into other people's kishkes. They shouldn't be my kishkes. You know, if people hear these values and at some point begin to relate to it, and then we teach ourselves how to wean ourselves off it, then we can do something about it. But, you know, it's things that, you know, I feel by talking about the people you might get involved with in, or the Arayas stuff, I think we're minimizing something. That other stuff is a danger, but this is the etzem. The etzem of Facebook is that I've lost myself. I've made myself a Rishos HaRabim. And if people need to be sensitized again to the fact that there's a Rishos HaYochid. I mean, it's something, going back to the case of that woman, somebody who doesn't live with any things that, this I keep to myself, this I keep only to my very closest people, this I share with everybody. If a person doesn't have those circles, then he has ceased to exist. I always tell people in a cell, they used to think that the important, I don't know if the word is organs in a cell, important units are the nucleus, the mitochondria, this, that, the other thing. They never thought that the membrane is anything more than glorified packaging. And now they've come to realize that the membrane is extraordinarily sophisticated and important because it's the guardian of what goes in and goes out. But I think it's more than that. If a membrane, if the outer membrane of the cell would open, the content would become diluted in the world and would cease to exist as its own entity. It only exists because there's a circle that says this is outside, this is inside. And if a person's whole metzius, his thoughts, his feelings, his everything about him is on the page, then basically he has ceased to exist as an individual. Depending on what it is, you need to somewhere along the line get that message in, and people should hear that message. And that plus the fact that it is extremely non-productive, tachlis, you don't gain much knowledge, you don't gain much, you don't accomplish anything. I mean, what part of your life would you like to cut out? Would you like to amputate? I mean, talk about it in terms of that. And depending on the person's sensitivities, you need to have a hook where you get in. And then you could help the person try to work his way out of it. Okay. Good.
I asked just a question about men and women that he was saying before.
Yeah.
That by women, that what the external opinions of them means more.
Correct.
So when we say this idea of being tsanua, of shtika being tsanua, would it be not so by women? Because they were given tisha kahavin of Dibor.
Well, women do have. Yes, women do have a need for it. It's something that it's one of, I guess, the areas of Shalom Bayis where men need to learn more about women. By a man to sit and to talk about something that leads to no solution, goes nowhere, is a waste of time. So sometimes it's scintillating Lashon Hara or whatever it is. So okay, but just to talk about something without tachlis to it is not really is something that is baffling. Sometimes a person has a lot of tsar, so faket, he does want to let loose of it, and he talks to somebody else. Now that says works because it's no longer my tsar, it's your tsar, his tsar, and the other person's tsar, so it's lighter. But when I but just to sit and to talk to someone else, by a woman, the sitting and talking with somebody else is how she lives things and how she copes with things. So, the typical conversation will be the woman talks to the man, says, okay, this is what you need to do. And the woman says, I didn't ask for your advice. So why? Because I want to discuss it with you. But what do you mean you want to discuss it with me? I'm been listening for the last hour and I think I have the solution for you. And, this goes back and forth until people learn to understand the difference in the mechanism. A woman is dabranius. Chazal said it, dabranius. Their teva is a need for sharing and expressing more externally. It's a compliment. It's just like in the owner of the house. A man feels that if he brings home a big vat of meat and potatoes, he's done the family right. The woman's horrified and she puts it into little plates and into big plates, into this and that, the other thing, because it's about how you're serving it, how you're presenting it. So yes, those two things are differences, and B'melech reflects itself in Dibur, very much so. Chazal say, women are Dabraniya saying. And for them, a certain level of conversation, Sicha, is absolutely necessary. It's actually one of the shailos about Lashon Hara, which is hard to, I've heard from Poskim, you had a rough day in the office, or your wife had a rough day at the office. So-and-so was rude, so-and-so was mean, so-and-so didn't pull their weight and the thing, so on. Can you discuss it with your spouse? On the face of it, there doesn't seem to be any heter. I mean, you know, what's the toelos? On the other hand, it's impossible for a woman not to discuss it, you know, not to get off her chest, not discuss it. And for a man, it also, you know, there's daiga levishisichana. You need a certain daiga of being able to share your frustrations and your issues and stuff like that. I mean, I guess the general consensus is if that's the very specific purpose for it and so on, that doesn't go under Lashon Hara. Like if it's nageya to you, if two other office workers had some issue between them, certainly there's no have to tell your wife about it. But if you're under duress because your boss is acting very, very unkindly to you, it's something that maybe that a person could tell it to his wife if it's, you know, the sichena, that's part of it. Okay. Beseder. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
Take care, bye.
Good Shabbos, thank you.